Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Again, it's so good if you're visiting with us. It's so good again having you here, and to our faithful church members, it's good having you. I know we have many, I'm sure, tuning in by live stream because of illness and out of town this morning. So it's good to have you with us. Maybe you're in a motel room this morning. Maybe you're in McDonald's getting their Wi-Fi. Wherever it is, whatever you are doing this morning, it's good to have you a part of us. Mark chapter 4, life really is a journey. Life is about moving. Life is about traveling. And listen, if you're not on the train that's moving in life, I feel bad for you. Life is fun living, is it not? I love life. I love what it has to offer. I love the people that are in my life, from my family to our church family. And so many times we can get bogged down. I'm sure all of us in here have been on some type of a trip or a vacation. And there's always the destination. There's always the purpose of where you are going and where you are headed to. And sometimes the journey does have routes that are interesting. Sometimes, I remember years ago, we went out west when I was a teenager, went to Wyoming to visit some friends in Cody, Wyoming, and then, of course, went on to Yellowstone National Park. And I remember on the way out there, we stopped and did some things along the way. But the ultimate goal was what? The ultimate goal was getting to Yellowstone National Park. That was the ultimate goal. And I remember finally the excitement. Oh, yes, the Devil's Tower on the way. And yes, the Badlands on the way. And yes, Wall Drug on the way was great. And all those things are important. And Mount Rushmore. Those are all part of that trip. And none of that was light. And all that was important part of the trip. But it was the final destination. But what happens is we get bogged down in life when we are on our journeys, when we're on our destination. And for a believer in Jesus Christ, this world is not our home. We are what? We're just passing through. And our eternal destination is what we are after. Our well done, thou good and faithful servant, is what we are after. But we're going to look at a journey this morning in Mark chapter 4. Our text begins in verse 35, but if you will allow us, let's be in verse 33 and read through this, and then we won't read the last, we'll save a couple verses for the end, because that's really going to be our point. What is our point? What is our goal? What is your end game? What is your end game? That's a question that's asked today. What are you after? Where are we trying to get to? And some of you already know in this story, and it's a very familiar story, as Jesus and his disciples are going to be in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, or Gennesaret, and there's going to come this tempest, we call it, or this storm. Did Jesus know there was going to be a storm? The answer is what? Yes. Yeah. So why go? Why go on this journey? What's the point? What's the purpose? Well, one of the points, of course, is to teach about faith, and we will talk about that. But what is the ultimate goal? And we'll look at that as we get to the end this morning. So what happens in our life? There's changes that take place. There's journeys we're all on. Look out. Some of you are about to send a child to college. That's a change. Some of you, you're about to send a child to school for the very first time. That's a change. For some of you, you are in the middle of becoming, through marriage or through college, empty nesters. That is a change. There's health concerns, and there's changes in health. The older you get, little things that were once little, now they're big deals, and you feel that. That's a change. All of us are going through changes in our life, whether you're committed to a team or whether you're committed to the workplace. There are changes that take place in a team dynamic. There's changes that take place in a work dynamic. Some of you have not been back to an office or a setting for maybe a year, year and a half. That's a change. It's different. Some of you are maybe starting in a few months or weeks, you're going to go back to an office setting. That is a change. Changes happen. It's natural in our life. And I know sometimes we balk at that, especially back to the old church rule thing. If church does a change, that's gonna upset the apple cart, isn't it? Or something else around us that's just not. And so change happens. There's movement that takes place. And here Jesus has been preaching right next to the sea We kind of can visual maybe a landscape of a hill coming down into the sea, and Jesus using that. Some said there was even maybe what we would call similar to an amphitheater where his sound would boom. We don't know exactly. There are places that would make sense. And so as Jesus is teaching, in fact, in this portion of Scripture, he has talked about the parable of the sower and the seed. He talked about the parable of the lamps. And then we see here in verse 33 and 34, let's begin reading there. "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." So he's preaching to the multitudes, and then Jesus brings around him the 12, and he speaks to them, talks about things that nobody else can hear, and he teaches them personally. And now let's go to verse 35, the meat of our story. "In the same day, when the even was come," so he'd had a long day of preaching and teaching, "he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were," don't forget this, "also other with him, other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" We would say, don't you care? There's something going on out here. Does it not bother you? Hey, wake up. That was the spirit. He was in the hinder part of the ship. Verse 39, "And he arose and rebuked the winds and the waves and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased." In this great life, there's a great calm. Can you just for a moment just think in life of a time where there was a great tumult, there was a great storm, and the power of God in your life, there was a calm. Peace be still. Do you recall a time like that? If you're here this morning, if you've never recalled a time, we're gonna show you what it takes to have that time. And it's really what he encourages here, the disciples, about faith. "And he arose and rebuked the winds and the wave, peace be still, and the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Maybe you're here this morning and you cannot wait for a calm in your life. You ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Are things going to slow down? Are things going to change? Is it going to get better? You ever ask yourself those questions? Here's how it took place. It takes place because Jesus said, let's pass over. Let's go through this. Let's pass over on the other side. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's pray. God, help us. Lord, we are in tumults in life. We are in difficulty sometimes. Lord, we're going to learn this morning, sometimes we cause many problems. And Lord, sometimes you just simply allow many problems. So sometimes they are from within, and sometimes they are from without. So Lord, wherever they come from, wherever our journey takes us, wherever our frustrations, wherever our life stage is, God, help us to pass through to the other side. Because God, you have a plan for us over there. And Lord, there are lessons to learn as we get there. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to grasp truth from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's talk about this journey. Let's talk about what took place as this was going. You know, for some of us in life, we have aspirations, we have dreams, we are traveling through. Some of you in here, you have lofty aspirations of life goals. Maybe you're here to climb the corporate ladder. Maybe you're in life where you're watching your children, your grandchildren grow up to be successful. Maybe you're a parent here, and maybe your plans for your children are the quickest way to satisfaction, the quickest way to success, the quickest way to make what abilities we have show forth immediately. Some people, that's where they're at in their lives. They have great plans for others. For many people this morning, maybe you planned your choice is the the plan of least resistance. Man, I just want to get through life easy. I don't want difficulties. I want to make it easy for my children. I just want life. And most of you would sit here this morning and say, Pastor Dan, that's not reality. And the truth of the matter, it is not. But there's a dream that so many people are after, are they not? They want life easy. And if you're a child of Jesus Christ, he never promised any of us that life would be that, that life would be easy. And so how do we get through that? Proverbs 21 says this, the thoughts, the intentions, the thoughts of the diligent, that's the determined, tend only to plenteous or to gain. But every one that is hasty only to want. And so many times we want it now. I know we live in a fast food society. We, especially with the pandemic, nobody wants to go in and eat. You just go, you type in a you call ahead or phone ahead or email ahead, and you go and you park at number 3, and somebody from the restaurant runs out. You say thank you, and you go home and you eat it. And that there is a convenience to that, and there is part of that, that's nice. But yet, that's not always the right reality. And so we live in this fast-paced world. Wise is the person whose voyage in life is lived and directed by the ever-present power of God. And we're going to look at that journey this morning. So number one, let's just look at the voyage. Number one, verse 35, let us pass over on the other side. Every day we're passing over waters of life to get somewhere. We're living life. The sea is interesting here. That is an appropriate example of life that we're going through. Oh, there are waves. Sometimes it is calm. Don't you like those calm days? And it's just glass. And then there are days, there's ripples, there's waves. And then there are days, I mean, there are storms. There are storm clouds. There's everything about it. And so all that, this is an interesting parallel to really the life that we go through. But we are not ships. We are mortals. We're human. We have souls. We travel the sea of life. We have motion. And so that's why you and I this morning, we must sail in this world for a purpose. What is your end game? What is your purpose? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever I do, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, what am I to do? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're to glorify God. That is your end game. Winning souls is our end game. Reaching people for Jesus Christ is our end game. We lose so many times the big picture of what we're here for. Why are we here at church today? What's the purpose of our ministry? To fill time? Listen, there's a lot of ways to fill time. Do we just do it because it's something to do, or do we have a purpose? Do we have a plan? Do we have an end game, so to speak? Why do we do what we do? I know we don't like using the word philosophy. That sounds very scary, but that's all philosophy is why. Why do you do it? What's our philosophy? What's our purpose? And everything we do here at Cross Point Baptist Church, we have a purpose. Why are we redoing the parking lot? To spend thousands of dollars? No, because we need it. There's a purpose. When people come visit our ministry, we want things done decently and in order. I know you can handle it. It's okay. It's just blacktop. Why can't we just park on gravel? Because you drive a really nice car and you'd complain. So why are we worried about a parking lot? Because we want it looking good. Because this property is not mine. It is not yours. Whose is it? It's God's. I know if God wants gravel, but I think God desires us to make things look right and good. So that's our end game. We want it to be to God's glory. We want it to be not just convenient for people, but we want it to be right. Some of you ladies wear heels. Do you really want to walk in heels through gravel? No, you'd sink in, especially on a rainy day. So there's a purpose. It makes sense. I know that's trivial. But what I'm saying is there's a purpose. We do things. Why are we putting a fellowship area in ministry? Because we want fellowship to be a part of what we do. Well, I don't like coffee. It's okay. It's okay. But you like people, so you can still fellowship. See, what we do is we forget the purpose. What are we doing here? As for God, it says 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, his way is perfect. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man, or if you will, woman, are ordered by the Lord. The steps are our goings. Those are every day the direction we're headed. We are headed, our ultimate direction, our end game is headed by our steps. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, he delighteth in his way. That's our course of life. That's the big picture of where we're headed. And so if we don't have a focus on the big picture of the way, then our steps, they're not going to matter. If we are not stepping to the ultimate big goal or big picture of what God wants for us, then we are misstepping. So here's the voyage. Let us pass over on the other side. No reckless fate. No just fickle chance. Wherever I land, wherever life takes me, there are people that live their life like that, and you know them, don't you? And I'm just living life. Wherever I land, whatever happens, happens. But it's all, if you're a child of God, it's by a divine decree. You've heard this divine appointments. A purpose, a place. You ever get done with something and say, man, God was definitely in that. There's definitely a purpose and a plan for what took place and what happened. And so many times in our life, if we would just understand in the middle of the voyage that God's got the ship of our life. Number one, the voyage. Number two, the voyage may, or if we want to just say it this way, let's be honest, not only may, but the Lord or the voyage will be met with trials. You could say, my life may be met with trials, but chances are you're sitting here this morning and your life has been met with trials. And there are going to be trials in the course of our life. There arose a great storm of wind in verse 37, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So what's the source of the storms? The winds of circumstances from without our life. We are full. If you listen to Mr. Mancroni this morning in our adult Bible study hour, talked about the ways that the world are attacking us, even in our homes. And so there's these storms, there's these circumstances from without. James says this, my brother, and I count it all joy to fall into diverse or diverse temptations, different trials. Discouragement comes along in our life, and there's challenges, and the challenges are from the outside. But also, can I say this morning, there's waves from an inside. There's waves inside of us. There's waves of doubt. There's waves of fear. There's waves of frustration. There's waves of questioning God's goodness. And those waves come inside. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, a verse you know, verse 13, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Nice verse. Everybody's going to go through these problems, but the verse is not over. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. He's going to give you a way out of the storm. You know what I want to do? I want to start bailing. Now, doesn't mean that God doesn't want me to bail, but God wants to take care of my problem. And maybe that has to do with me bailing water out. But I'm not going to stop that storm. If you've ever had a basement or a low-lying area in your home or near your home, and those floodwaters come, sandbags, good try. Sump pump, better luck next time, right? Because you've been there, haven't you? I don't know, years ago, remember when we first came out to this property, before they put the wall in the back of the, back here off the hill? And I remember coming on, sad to say, more than one occasion, and I remember one Sunday morning specifically, and some of you may remember this, but I got a call and said, we got a problem, get over here. So we came over, and the mud from that hill, started coming down like an amoeba. I'm not making this up. And it came under the double doors, down the hallway, through these double doors in the auditorium. And by the time I got here, they're back almost to the double doors that you all came, most of you came in this morning. And it was just this slow moving. And I was thinking, man, I can imagine living out like in California where they have mudslides all the time, where their homes are just going. It's a hopeless sight, isn't it? And you know what? When a storm comes and that mud amoeba flows, it's going to flow where it wants to flow. It's going to go. And what I got to do is trust my God, either to dam it up, to stop it, to take it away, or give me the power and the strength to get my wet vac out and suck it up as fast as I can. See, God has to be in it, no matter what it is. And some of us forget it. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Somebody else can clean up the mess. But the truth of the matter is, most of the messes in our life, guess who's caused them? Right? We are quick to blame shift. And then we're quick to blame God. Yes, God is all-knowing. Yes, God allows those things into our lives. As long as that water is kept out of the boat, it's not going to do a lot of damage. So let me ask you a question. Do you let Satan into the boat of your life? Do you let those waters of Satan into your life? Mom and dad, adults, senior saints, what comes into our life, is something manageable? Is something we could have kept out by our living right for God? Because as soon as this storm comes, we're ready to call out for help. And God rightfully so will. Acts 9 says this, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. But he who knows how to bear a cross and bear it well," and that's who Jesus called to follow him. Those that are going to bear the cross of Jesus. "He became sin for us who knew no sin." So what do? I cast my care on him. So that brings us to number three. So we see the journey as they're starting it. And then the problem, the difficulty, the trials that do come in our life, they're going to come. And then number three, the voyage must be accomplished by Christ. Your voyage, living the Christian life, it must be accomplished by living Jesus Christ in this world. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Who called for the voyage? Jesus. Now what's Jesus doing? He's in the bottom of the ship. He's asleep. How quickly, when the storms come, we forget who's in that journey with us. When that journey comes, we still have Jesus in the boat. I'm not being disrespectful. That phrase didn't mean to be that way. But we have Christ. Will the kids sing with Jesus in the vessel? Is Jesus in your vessel? Is he in your boat, so to speak? We know that God is on our side. For you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. He's said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Do we believe that? Or is that a nice verse just to quote every once in a while? Jesus was silent. And sometimes you may think Jesus is silent, but he is ever present. He's always there. And he knows and he cares. So whatever it is this morning that even as I'm preaching, there are things in some of your minds that are just popping out that are saying, ooh, that's heavy. That's heavy in my life. That's difficult. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, sometimes we put Jesus in the lower parts or the back part of our ship, so to speak. But boy, when we want him prominent, we're disappointed that he's not at the helm. Oh, he's sleeping. What's he doing that for? You know why he's in the back part? Because we didn't want him at the helm to begin with. How many times have we said, Jesus, I got this. I'm okay. I live my life. And all of a sudden, a trial comes. Where's he at? He's in the back seat, so to speak. Most of you in here have had a run-in with a two-year-old, one way or another. Whether you're babysitting, whether it was your own, whether you're teaching a class. But what does a two-year-old say? Hey, can I help you with that? Can I help you tie your shoe? Can I help you lift that? No, I got it. No, I do. No, I do. And then as soon as the boo-boo happens and they fall down on their little tricycle, what happens? They want help, don't they? Sure they do. They want comfort. And yes, God is there to do that. But we want Jesus prominent. We're disappointed when he's not bailing out the water of the ship of our lives. Yes, we've caused it, but all of a sudden he's supposed to wave his spiritual magic wand and take it all away. And it's never as fast as we think it should be. We are impatient people when it comes to trusting God. Most of us are impatient just living life. But then when it comes to trusting God, God, I was reading this week, Mary and Martha, Jesus, where were you? If you weren't here, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. Putting a lot on Jesus, right? Don't we do the same? We don't want to blame ourselves. We don't want to blame circumstances. We don't just want to blame life. It happens. So the voyage must be accomplished by Christ. And the voyage is spared, number four, for the miraculous. Oh, and he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I don't know what he said exactly. I'll never forget years ago, my first run-in, if I can use that word, at a tent camp meeting. And somebody said, if you've never been to a tent meeting, preacher tent meeting, you need to go. So I went to this preacher tent meeting. And I'll never forget what I saw. We parked the car. And this was just in the morning. This is 10 o'clock in the morning. This wasn't at night when things got hot and heavy. I mean, this was just nice and calm. But I remember walking in, and before I even got there, maybe if you want to been one of these meetings, but I mean, there was hankies running all over the place and people shouting and jumping. Have you ever been to one of those? You know what I'm talking about? People yelling and screaming and praising the Lord. Nothing wrong with praising the Lord. But I wasn't quite ready for that. And so I'll never forget the man running the show, or the the man running the service. Sorry. I meant to say that. The man running the service, I'll never forget. He's up at the pulpit and he says, hey, pastor. And he picks just a random pastor. And the pastor gets up and he preaches his passages. I'll never forget what this man said. I will never do this, nor would I advise it. But he was preaching this passage, and he said, Jesus, and the verse I just read, the winds and the waves, and Jesus says, peace be still. And here's what the man said to the top of his lungs, and I'll try not to be at the top of my lungs. And Jesus looked at the waves and said, shut up. Well, you know, maybe he did. I don't know. But my Bible doesn't say he said, shut up. And I remember sitting there going, okay. I was scared to death. It's like I was ready to be the wind and the waves. I wasn't going to say another word. And he scared me to death. So I don't know exactly what Jesus said. But guess what? They obeyed. All creation, and why? Because he was the creator. Jesus is the creator. Whatever happened, it was peaceful. The power of God has to be displayed in our lives. And guess what? We become part of a miracle. When God works through us and allows him to do wonderful things in our life, he works through us. Don't be this morning named with a shipwreck. There are a lot of shipwrecks. We wouldn't sit here and cast judgment. That would be wrong of us. But there are people that once sat in pews and seats all across this city of Indianapolis and Eagledale Baptist Church and Cross Point Baptist Church. Their lives without God's help have ended up being what we'd call shipwrecked. Now listen, God can change that. By the way, that's why you don't write people off. That's why you don't burn bridges, because God knows the heart, not us. So that's why we don't judge. We just pray for people that God will bring them back to where he wants them. That's what we're asked to do. But there are shipwrecks. There are people that have allowed their life. And so what happens in the midst of this voyage? Jesus says miraculously, peace be still. And that brings us to point five. The voyage should be met with courage, or if you'd like to say it, faith. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I think of the verses in Joshua 1, 7, 8, 9, B. Or only be thou strong and very courageous. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper. Whithersoever thou goest, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, what? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. We can have faith in the midst of our journey. Real quick, there are five reasons. There's five reasons that we can have faith in our lives. Number one, if you're a child of God, Christ is in your heart. You can have faith. You can trust God when you're going through the trial, when that water's coming into that boat, and you cannot seemingly get it stopped. Listen, as a child of God, Christ is in your heart, and that's where your faith comes from. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. A child of God can possess the faith necessary to live in this Christian life. Have you personally, this morning, maybe you're here and you've never known Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you personally accepted him? Do you know him? Do you know that God's Son, Jesus Christ, this same miracle worker, this person that is in the that is asleep in the ship and then rises from that sleep and he calms the sea, that same Jesus, at a later time will go and he'll take his life to the cross of Calvary and give it so we can have everlasting life as the one and only, very only, precious, special Son of God. The Bible says that he gave his life a ransom. He gave his life so that you and I can have eternal life, can have everlasting life. Maybe here this morning you don't know that truth. You don't know the story of the cross. You don't know the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Celebrate Easter. That's what it's all about. Resurrection Sunday. The death, the burial, the resurrection. We'd call that the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the power of Jesus because you've never seen it through salvation, so you don't know you can have it to live everyday life. Colossians 1 says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, is Christ in your heart? So the only way to have faith, first of all, is for Christ, to have Christ in your heart. Number two, another reason that we can have faith in our lives, for Christ has the best interest for you and I as his believers. He has the best interest in mind at heart for us. God is in the midst of her, it says in Psalm 46. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that rightly early. God wants, this is one of my favorite statements, God wants the best for my life. See, God is not this God that wants to discourage, disappoint, keep us down, minimize our life. He wants the very, very best for our life. He wants the very best for these that are in the middle of this boat. He wanted them to live. He wasn't there to scare them. He was showing them of his mighty power. He wants the very best for our lives. Third reason we can have faith in our lives, or need to have faith, Christ can be sought in his word. Let me ask you, when that flood comes, what do? What's your first call? Naturally, some of you would call mold remediation if it was a real flood. I get that. But who do we call? We get frantic. We get upset. I'll admit, dropping to my knees is not my first go-to. So many times. Start questioning how, why did it happen, how I let it happen. This is all my fault. Only to say this is all my fault to blame shift because it really was my fault. You ever do that? It's kind of weird. Very seldom. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago. Oh, if it's a big storm, okay, God. Little storm, little problems, little difficulties, little frustrations. And that's when we overreact and overrespond because we think we can handle it. How about it, God? Do we take our, as we ought to, our burdens to him? Search the scriptures. Do we go to God's word? Do we go to prayer? See, we can have faith in the midst of our journeys. Number four, for Christ desires to lead us to his perfect will. You ever wonder? Maybe God's trying to show me, teach me, guide me, allow me to trust in him through this trial? Because don't we know Romans 8, 28? We know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How about number five? Because of the awesomeness of our God. And said unto one another in this verse 41, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves of the sea obey him? Wow. Do you know whose presence we are in? Do you ever, when anything in your home goes well or something happens and God takes it away, do you stop and praise? You ever just find yourself, do you ever in the world, I've done this in a store. I'm in the store and something happens and the guy looking for something with me finds it and say, well, praise the Lord, we found that. And he'll kind of go, you know what? That's awesome. It wasn't rehearsed. What happened? I was really doing that. It's like, hey, praise the Lord. But the world doesn't get that. It's really a cool thing if you've been there. It's just, and then you get to, well, hey, I don't think I can do this myself. It's nothing I've done. It's all the Lord. And then they really go, you know, he ain't right. Do you know what? God's got it. Isn't that great that we can do that? He's awesome. You ever tell anybody? Man, it's a bad storm, God. We'll sure tell everybody that. Man, you know what I'm going through? I can't believe this. Tell everybody that. But when God gets us through that, how many times do we praise and thank God? And then lastly, because others are affected by our faith. We're not the only ones. There are other people. I remember what I told you, don't forget who. Don't forget the little boats. There are the little ships. They came simply to follow Jesus. This wasn't just the disciples' boat. The Bible says there are other little ships. Our faith affects people around us. By the way, so does our complaining. So does our negative spirit. So does our sin. But positively this morning, isn't it great? Our faith can affect those around us. It wasn't just the disciples and Jesus in the midst of the storm, it was many. And we don't know how many. A couple of the commentaries, they make it sound like there were a lot of boats that followed them. In fact, many around. Almost like have you ever driven by a lake and it's a hot summer day, maybe it's a holiday, and there are boats just kind of everywhere. I mean, they're just sitting there. That's kind of the picture that I have in this. Oh, they were moving. But yet many, many, many boats. It wasn't just one or two out sailing somewhere. There are many boats following. And they were involved in this tempest just the same. What a journey. The winds and the waves, they're a tumult. Christ rebukes the sea. He teaches valuable lesson of faith to all of us. But let's look at Mark chapter 5 as we end up this morning, verse 1. But the journey wasn't over. Quite a journey it was. A lot of lessons taught. Lack of faith. Couldn't bail the water out. It had to be a miracle of God. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Of course, we know verse 41, if you want to go back to that. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey? Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he has come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Of course, we know that story. In fact, evangelist John Getch would call him a nude dude in a crude mood. And that's that's what he was. He was a crazed man. He was the demoniac of Gadara. And they came over. And of course, we know what happened as Jesus meets him. And he has the demon. And the demon leaves him. The demons, if you will, legion. Many leave him. So why'd they go? Just to prove faith? Just to scare him? Just to deal with a problem in the middle of the sea? Just so Jesus could get a nap? What was the purpose? The purpose was Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What was the purpose of the trip? To serve. The purpose of the trip was to minister. The purpose of the trip was to go deal with that crazed demoniac of Gadara. The purpose was to show the power of God. The purpose was for the people in that region. In fact, if you remember, what did they do to Jesus that next day? They sent him away. They didn't like that he came. They didn't like that Jesus came and did a miracle. They were getting something out of this crazed madman. They didn't want a bit to do with Jesus. And Jesus in his ultimate wisdom, do you think he knew that? Yes, he did, just like he knew there was going to be a storm. But he did it anyway, even if it was for the soul of one person. Cool. So why are you traveling? Why are you moving through? What's going on? Why even live this life? It's rough. I get it. There's discouragement. Pastor preached on depression. I get it. It's real. But if we focus on the end game, if we focus on the demoniac of Gadara's in our life, in a sense, if we focus on the people that need Jesus, that is our purpose of life as we travel through. The end game isn't success. The end game isn't my IRA. The end game isn't my long retirement and living in a motorhome, which would be really cool. Wouldn't that be fun? That's not the end game. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, what is our purpose? See, this world's about myself. But make your world and my world about living Christ likeness before this evil world. Make my life, God, make my life about living Jesus in front of this evil world. Because it is an evil world. It's an ugly world. It's a lost world. It's broken. And we're part of that brokenness. See, we have become pretty stuck on this planet, haven't we? We've become very earthbound. In a journey that was never meant for us to be attached to it, to this world. This journey was never meant for the disciples to stay at sea. It wasn't the purpose. It wasn't just to get through the waves, one wave after another, one bit of seaweed after another. One upset stomach because of the storm after another. Can you imagine just floating through life? But there's an end game. There's a purpose. And may we take heart from the whole focus. Now you say, well, Pastor Dan, don't you think if the disciples would have known that, hey, there was a purpose in all this? You know they did, because they were with the very Son of God. But they did what we do. We don't trust the very Son of God. And so let me challenge you this morning. Let me challenge myself. What are we living life for? You know, that's why people are ending their lives, because it's empty. They don't have an end game. Serving self, getting through. It's hard to get through in this world today, just to make ends meet, just to get through, just to do, just to float. What really matters? What really matters in life? It's a life being lived for Jesus Christ. So, is your voyage, it's going to be met with trials. It's going to happen. But have your voyage accompanied by Christ. Trust in the miracles. Look at the miracles every day. I think there are things that happen around us every day we don't give God credit for. We take it ourselves. Our voyage, meet it with courage, meet it with faith. And make sure you have an itinerary. Make sure you have a purpose. Make sure you have a purpose for living it. Know where you're going and why you're going. Philippians 2 says this, verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Now get this, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That word vain means emptiness. God, help me not to run in vain. Help me not to work in vain, labor in vain. Help me not to be empty. Help me to have a purpose and a goal. Even if it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, all God to your glory. It's amazing. We quote that verse so many times, I wonder if we really mean it. God, help me play to your glory. Do we do that? Help me work to your glory. Do we do that? Help me live to your glory. Do we do that? Help me parent to your glory. Do we do that? Help me preach this morning, God, to your glory. Do we do that? Or it's a nice verse to quote before we go into battle. God, help us to truly live that. Our prayer for all of us is that we don't just journey through life, that we journey with a purpose. Have a purpose. And then God help us to get to that other side. For you, It may be the other side of your street. Maybe the other side of the office space. For some of you, maybe the other side of the world. We don't know. But for all of us in here, there is another side. And God help us to journey well to the other side.